You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we are very, very glad to have you. So as we move towards September, yes, I know I'm talking about that, and it's probably breaking a lot of people's hearts that we are moving to the fall. But fall is a time for change. It's a really good time to check in with yourself, your personal goals, your relationships, and really see what you're looking for. What do you need? What do you feel you're missing in your life? And at this time of year, it's really good to not just investigate, because a lot of times we think of career. Sometimes we think of things like, are we being healthy? Do we need to lose weight? What do we need in our lives? But other things that are really important are also making sure that we take care of our relational health as well. What do we need? Are we actually seeing our partners enough? Are we having quality time? Are we getting enough sex? Whatever it is, it's really important. And sometimes when we emerge and head back to work, just prepping for new projects, sometimes it's one of those things where it's really, really, really important to reevaluate and try and find that happy, sweet spot of a balance, even though I don't know if there's ever such thing as balance, to be really honest, but we can strive for it, and it's something that we will work hard to attain. So I've got a very special guest on today who's a dear friend. She is also amazing. She's an MTC, RPC, RTC, and she is a registered professional counselor. She specializes in relationships and mediation in all aspects, and she has two main focuses. She provides individual and counseling, relational counseling, as well as individual and couples relational counseling, as well as providing business relationship and leadership training. So Carrie is an accomplished workplace educator and facilitator, trainer, and counselor for human resources. So if you have not met the beautiful, wonderful, absolutely brilliant Carrie Vega, you're going to in just one moment. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. So in terms of counseling, one of the things I wanted to touch on just at the top of the show, because life coaching gets a lot of buzzwords these days. Could you just kind of talk about the differences between counseling versus life coaching, just to clarify for our listeners?
Interesting question, actually. Life coaching can be very different for different people. So one of the main differences is the training that you go through and the schooling you go through to become a counselor versus a life coach. Mm. And it is also a different focus. Now, there's, of course, going to be, this might sound odd, but seepage. There is going to be a little bit of life coaching in counseling and a little bit of counseling in life coaching. And some of this will depend on what type of counselor you are.
Okay.
So for myself, I have a tendency to do a little bit more life coaching because of the type of counseling I do.
Okay. And in terms of when somebody is looking for a counselor to work with, what are some key things would you recommend that people should be taking a look at?
Well, ultimately, it's really about the relationship. It is really ultimately about the relationship. Training is one thing. You can look at their credentials and you can look at what organizations they belong to. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, when you meet them or you speak to them on the phone, that's how you know whether or not you feel like this is a good fit. And I think that truly is the way that you're going to develop the trust to be able to explore the issues that you want to explore. And if you're doing one-on-one counseling, it's a little bit different than when you do couples counseling. If you're looking for a therapist to do couples counseling, you want to have it be a match for not only yourself, but for your partner as well. Mm. And that is something you don't often know until you've met the person, or at least spoken to them on the phone. And asking them a few questions, getting the vibe as to whether or not this is someone you feel comfortable with and you feel you can really open up to. Mm-hmm. Where you don't feel like there is judgment, you can say anything, and this person's heard it all before. It's not about having to conceal or hide or sugarcoat anything.
So you can just be yourself and that your partner feels comfortable enough to be themselves as well.
Definitely. And every counselor works a little bit differently. One of the things that I always suggest to clients is that they come in individually first.
Okay.
And so each person, each side of the partnership has an opportunity to meet myself or whoever, whichever counselor they're going to see,
mm-hmm.
and discover whether or not they feel that person is a fit for them, rather than only one person going in and basically interviewing the counselor and loving the counselor possibly, and then you ask your partner and you expect your partner to come along with you. They may not feel like this is a person that they connect with or that they trust. And ultimately in relationship counseling, you really want both people to trust that counselor that they are objective, that they have the goals of each individual and you as a couple.
That makes perfect sense. I guess one of the questions I'm going to ask is, if someone's feeling like their relationship needs a tune-up and it'd be really helpful to see someone to help make those tune-ups, what is a nice way to couch it in terms of being able to to create that conversation where it's like we need to work on some things?
Well, I think focusing on the positives of what you could see coming out of the counseling relationship.
Okay.
So rather than going at it from the perspective of how you want your partner to change,
mm-hmm.
discussing maybe some of the things that you see in yourself that you would like to change, and priorities of the relationship that maybe aren't getting enough focus.
Okay.
Possibly even the idea that you want to take this relationship to another level, or you feel like something's just missing and you want the communication to be enhanced. You want the intimacy to be enhanced. And with that, possibly the idea of discussing this with someone objective that might be able to give you some good tips on how to really make your relationship the priority. Often we lose that as a priority. We have work, we have possibly children, we have so many different things we're trying to balance. And I loved your intro when you said, do we ever really achieve balance?
And I think it's an ongoing journey. I don't know. What do you think?
It needs to be, I think. Because it feels like we're always all searching for it.
That's true. And I think we change every day just bit by bit based on all the things we experience. And as hopefully we continue to grow, because I can't believe I'm going to say this on air, but I'm going to say it. Sometimes I think if I stop learning, I might as well be dead. Because I think life is about growing and evolving and shifting, and sometimes a step forward, a step backwards, as we continually meet with all the different changes that we make in our lives. And then you add a partner to that, and sometimes a family. And when you've got all the different personalities and trying to make that work as each person's going through those processes, sometimes it can be really challenging.
Well, and if you're not working together as a team moving forward, when you have each person has their own priorities,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the relationship, and do you start losing pieces of the relationship when you're focusing on all of your other priorities? And of course, we still want to focus on work and family and children and all of the other goals that we have in life.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we still maintain our relationship and that idea that we're a team and we're moving forward as a team together through this, rather than learning and growing separately and then possibly feeling like you're moving apart from each other, growing apart?
I guess I'm going to ask, how in the world do we do that? I guess probably about 3 years ago now, I had a counselor from the States on the show. And what I loved was she met her husband when she was 12. And as she described it, her husband has evolved into hundreds of men over the years. She was in her late 70s when I spoke to her on the show. And she described it as basically dating lots of people where you had to keep falling in love with that person over and over and over again as they continue to evolve, so that you honor and try not to hang on to what once was, but to accept them where they're at today. And also to love yourself and fall in love with yourself over and over again. And I always really love that. But I guess you know, there's loving that where it's an inspirational quote that I might share on Facebook, but actually taking that and making that into the pragmatic, like, how do I actually do that? Where it goes from, you know, person meets person, whether it boy meets girl, girl meets girl, boy meets girl, you know, boy meets boy, whatever the relationship is. And that lovely, delicious honeymoon period where there's the euphoria, there's, and I'm going to use stereotypical Cinderella, where, you know, where we think it's going to be happily ever after. And then all of a sudden it seems hard. And sometimes we take our partners for granted. And just trying to pull out of that so we don't end up turning our bedroom into either bed death, where we're not connecting, or when we are getting together where it's more genital friction because there is absolutely no intimacy, because the conversations basically have to do with, you know, just like who's making lunch today or who's picking up the groceries, as opposed to actual talking the way we get to when we play the getting to know you game in a relationship. So I guess my big question is just, how do we even start? So then that way, when we get into a relationship, are there some steps that we can kind of implement at the beginning stages so we can build our communication with someone? So there's less chance of falling into that taken for granted stage.
Well, I think that the idea of building the communication and our expectations from the beginning is really important.
Hmm.
And I have to say, before I start going off on that tangent, is that I love that idea of looking at your partner as going through different stages in their lives and recommitting and refalling in love with who they are, just as they are,
mm-hmm.
rather than always comparing them to who we once fell in love with,
yes.
or who they were when we met.
Mm-hmm.
When we met them, what were they like? And one of the things that I often speak about with clients is the idea that often the things that start driving us crazy with our partners are the things that we fell in love with. It's what that set them aside from the other people, right? It's the quirks. It's what made them a little bit different. And over the years, of course, sometimes those become more enhanced. We realize to what level they might experience these whatever they are, issues, quirks, little habits, whatever it might be. And reminding ourselves sometimes of how, despite the fact that sometimes we might feel a little bit nitpicky about that or feel agitated around certain things that are coming up, is that something that we actually picked? Is that something we fell in love with and we wanted from that person? And now it's a little more amplified for varying reasons. Maybe just we have more awareness around it, or it didn't go away. And the reality is that, no, the people we fall in love with, they're going to have little quirks, and it's like the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And often what we, years down the road, think of as things that we'd like to see improved are the things that we truly loved at the beginning. And just the value in reminding ourselves of the fact that we chose to be with this person that has that, and that's what made them unique. And how do we live together, work together, whatever the relationship might be,
mm-hmm.
in a way that we can honor that and value that. In regards to the communication piece, I really think that setting the stage at the very beginning,
okay.
and when you're dating someone, looking for warning signs of things that you wouldn't want down the road. If they do a little bit of this now, they probably do more of it later. Is that something that you want? And if it's something that you say, yes, I do want this, setting the stage for how do we communicate? When we struggle with something, when we have a difference of opinion, when we've had a hard day and we are feeling intolerant or impatient about things, how do we communicate that to our partner? And if we do come out a little bit sideways or snap at them, do we apologize? Do we talk it through? And how do they, in return, how do they respond to these situations? We're going to have bad days. We're going to have agitation or disagreements, and that's okay. That's a part of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we resort to when we're in that? And if we set the stage early on as to what's acceptable in this relationship and what's not, we're showing people and teaching people how to treat us. And I strongly believe in that idea that we allow people to treat us the way that we're being treated. So what do we expect of that? What do we expect of the other person?
Mm-hmm.
Within reason, of course. People are going to have bad days. But but if an issue comes up, how do we deal with it? Do we say, hey, are you having a bad day? Should we talk about something? Do you need a little space? What does that look like compared to immediately becoming defensive?
And it's hard sometimes when the emotions rise, where it's hard to separate sometimes, where I know for myself anyway, where it's just like, what's actually ego, where I'm getting triggered because of stuff that's happened in the past, my own personal story, or what is actually going on in this moment, which is why when I am lucky enough to get a chance to journal, it's my favorite thing, my favorite tool is actually writing a letter to that person and not sending it to them, but reading it out loud to myself. And imagining that they're there, and then from there writing a letter in their voice to myself from them, and then reading that out loud as well. And then from there, usually I find that releases a lot of the emotional piece. I'm not always able to do that because, of course, stuff happens in the moment, but I did that a lot with my partner at the very beginning of our relationship, and I found it was really helpful where I was able to separate what's my ego and where am I getting actually personally triggered and what's actually really going on? And do I actually have a reason to be angry, or is it just my stuff?
Right.
Is it because I've had a bad day and I've had 4 hours sleep? Is it because it reminded me of something that somebody else I was with before did? Those types of things. And being able to ask those questions where I can just see the facts. But sometimes that's hard to do when it's right in the midst of stuff.
Definitely. It's much harder when you're in the middle of it. And it's a personal situation. It's hard to be objective.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can also, if we work on our communication with our partner, and especially if we get them used to this from the beginning, we can involve them in that conversation.
Hmm.
We can say, you know what, I don't know why, but I'm really reacting to what you just said. I'm not sure if it's because of a past situation or because I just really... I'm feeling reactive for whatever reasons might be going on. In the end, though, it's always about the idea that, okay, we might be reacting, but how do we deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
How do we treat the other person? And that idea of just pausing until we know, right? Because sometimes they're going to be right in front of you. We can't. But I love the idea of writing a letter. And if they're not in front of us, we can do that and we can work through it. We can ask for feedback from friends, people that know us really well. But when they're right in front of us, how do we deal with it right then and there?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of pausing, even at saying, I'm feeling really reactive right now, just give me a moment to think about this. I'm not sure why I'm reacting.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm feeling really defensive and I'm not sure why I'm feeling defensive. Like just being able to name the feeling and the emotion and letting them know and involving them in that conversation helps them have insight into what might bother us in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is that yes, having a good perspective on it is really important, and understanding whether or not this is our own stuff, our own baggage from the past versus something that our partner is doing, that's important. But in the moment, what's important is our perspective on things, our viewpoint, and then, of course, how we deal with it. And if our partner has a strong understanding of how we deal with those things and what we might react to, they can better adjust their behaviors when they realize that we're feeling triggered.
That's so true. It's so true. When there's major changes in a couple's relationship, I think it's so key, like you said, to get the communication going solid at the beginning. Because like just things like, as an example, say having a child, a death of somebody very close, just types of situations, somebody getting laid off where they may not be able to find work for a while. Just things that are outside where it will trigger some things sometimes within the relationship because it just adds more additional stress. I'm just trying to think in terms of how do we do that where we can continue with just building that happy, healthy communication. Is there any tools you'd recommend? Because I know for me, my favorite is usually... I'm such a geek. I like Dr. Gary Chapman's The Five Languages of Love.
I love that one, too.
It's one of my all-time favorites, where I always tell people, go online, just Google Dr. Gary Chapman and Five Love Languages, or Five Languages of Love, I think it is, and do the little quiz to find out what you are in terms of whether it's words of acknowledgement, physical touch, quality time, gifts, or acts of service. And usually there tends to be one that tends to be more of what you like, where you like your love being shown to you that way. And then from there, just kind of looking at everybody in your life, like whether or not it is, say, in the office, with your own family, with a sibling perhaps that you don't always get along with, and of course in your partnership as well, and just seeing how they like, and just starting to recognize how do they need to be shown love. And when possible, trying to honor them in the way that they do, even if it's not your first choice of love.
Well, and one of the things that, because I love that as well, I often speak about that with clients, is what is your love language? And then, of course, what is your partner's?
Yes.
And understanding the other person's love language allows you to be able to show them the love that they need, so that they are feeling that acknowledgement and that idea that they aren't only hearing the words, but they're truly feeling that you are loving them and showing them that love in a way that they need. And I often look at it, and from what I've seen over the years with clients, is often if you think about the ways in which your partner tries to show you love, that's the way they want it in return.
That makes perfect sense.
And so if you have, I had a couple one time where the husband would always make his wife lattes in the morning and cook for her and do things like that. And she didn't acknowledge that as him showing her love. She looked at that as just making her dinner. And this was his reaching out, saying, I love you, every time he would do it. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't giving a lot of acknowledgement in return. And what would he say when he wanted to be shown love? He would complain about how she didn't cook and she didn't make him coffees and do things of that nature. Whereas what she wanted was acts of affection, right? And so they were having this disconnect and not feeling the love between them, even though they were both trying to show it in their own love language, right? She would try and show him acts of affection because that's what she wanted in return. And he would give her coffees because that's what he wanted in return. And I know it sounds very minor, but no. It's the small things sometimes.
And those small things add up, and especially if there's outside forces going on, like people getting laid off, death, sometimes even something joyous like having a child. All that stuff puts pressure, so all those little things, it makes a huge difference where people feel unloved, they feel disconnected, and they don't want to be intimate with each other because there's lack of trust.
And that connection.
Mm-hmm.
That connection is so important.
It's key.
When you do have, whether it's outside stresses or really busy life, right? Like it could be all positive stresses, but that idea that it's easy to start becoming almost roommates rather than life partners, and talking about the bills or the kids or what you need to do next, rather than that connection on a regular basis. And if you're not connected, you're not going to be intimate in other ways as well.
Yes.
Keeping that connection also has you feeling more fulfilled in your personal life. And it can be small things. It can be, if you have kids, it's really easy to start overlooking your relationship. And who do you say hi to when you first walk in the doors? You open up your arms and screech your child's name, and they come running, and you give a big hug. Did you even acknowledge your partner? Often not. That idea that still trying to make sure that you give kisses goodbye and hello and how was your day and calling each other honey or whatever it is that you call each other, trying to still do those little loving gestures makes a world of difference in your feeling of connectedness and how you deal with the stresses that are going to come.
Yes. Yeah. It reminds me, this is going to sound strange, but I think it was a really cheesy Facebook post that kind of got spread through. It went viral at one point years ago, where it was from one of the home ec textbooks, where it was about how a woman should acknowledge her hubby when he comes home, making sure the kids are quiet, running up to the running up to the door and greeting him with a martini. I've actually thought that there is some truth to that. Not necessarily the martini, but but just actually stopping what you're doing. We actually have it a rule in our household that whoever comes home, unless you're sleeping, actually stops what they're doing and actually runs and goes and gives a really beautiful hug. Where you just take that moment to hold your partner, hugging them and just giving them a quick kiss, and then getting back to whatever you're doing. Unless maybe you're like deep frying something on the stove, but yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
Maybe hold off then.
Especially if you're cooking naked, that'd be a very bad thing.
Well, I think that idea of saying to that person, you are my priority.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just like when one person's running late for work or running late for some kind of commitment and they want to go running out of the house, take the extra 2 seconds.
Yeah.
It takes 2 seconds to hug someone or kiss them or at least say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And taking that little bit of time makes a difference in your relationship.
It's a huge difference. It's so true. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting more, especially about work balance, which I'm glad it's a journey, but sometimes it feels like it's a really challenging one. So I'm excited to be chatting a bit more about that and as well just how to balance up, especially when we add work and entrepreneurship, which we've got a lot of really great entrepreneurs in Vancouver who struggle sometimes to be able to date, have a relationship, and have a successful business. So we're going to be back in a few moments. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
People's Co-op Bookstore, Audiopile Records, Bad Bird Media, BAM Merch Canada, and the Vancouver Music Gallery.
Wow, it sure does pay to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus, or go online to www.citr.ca.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you. That's what friends are for.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. So if you're just joining us right now, I've been talking to the lovely Carrie Vega, who is a relational as both for individuals as well as couples counselor and for business owners as well. And she's the perfect person to have on, especially with us going into fall. And as I was mentioning at the top of the show, it's time sometimes to reevaluate goals and just check in your life balance. Where are you at right now? If you haven't done a balance wheel, which I personally love, where you kind of go through and figure out where you're at, like in terms of where you want to be, where you kind of draw a dot in the center of a piece of paper and then put spiritual, your relational, your physical, employment, etc. And you just pick different categories, spiritual. And then from there, basically, where you have the dot where you'd like to be, and there, those are all at the edge. So ideally, it'd make a perfect circle if everything is in balance. And then from there, what you do is you draw a dot, kind of like the closest to the center is usually Where it needs a little bit more love and improvement. And if it's a little bit further away, where it's coming closer to more of a circle, usually most of the time, I've always found every time I've done it or done it in a group situation, usually most people tend to be more veered on one side than the other, where we're always striving for that balance. But Carrie Vega's amazing. So I'm very, very glad to have her on. We've been talking a lot about relational. And now we're coming back to the second half of the show. And Carrie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm really excited because I think relationships really enhance everything else. And I think sometimes because Vancouver has got a really bad reputation of a really hard place to date, just in general. And with that, I think sometimes part of that, because I've also done that balance wheel with several friends who have been trying really, really hard to date, where in the entrepreneurship stuff, sometimes they're through the roof, whereas it's almost they haven't made the time to have a relationship.
Right. Well, when you find yourself putting so much energy into time into one area of your life, which is very common, of course, for anyone that's opening their own business or running their own business, it's very difficult to have that work-life balance. And I think we sometimes fool ourselves into thinking we have a little bit more balance than we do in moments of high crisis times at work because we can leave work. However, we never really leave work due to all of our wonderful gadgets, right?
That's so true.
iPhones, Blackberries, all of that. We find ourselves sometimes working almost 24 hours a day, checking email before you go to bed at night, checking first thing in the morning, waking up in the middle of the night and checking. And that idea of leaving work at work has become much more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that just in general, people have their cortisol levels are just through the roof because of not being able to turn off?
Well, I find many people struggle in that area. They have that anxiety. Well, I think most of us, I'm not sure about you. Most of us that have our own businesses have times where we're doing really well with balance or we're focusing more on relationships and then other times where the work starts feeling like it's taking over and our anxiety and our adrenaline and everything is increased and therefore we're often not sleeping properly and we're not doing the exercise that we would normally be doing to try and maintain some kind of normalcy in within our body.
Mm-hmm. No, I 100% agree. And it's one of those things I know on a personal level I've had to do a lot of balance work with because I tend to get so stressed out that I get sick because I think it's my excuse to be able to shut down and take care of myself, where I almost force myself to get sick to be able to, which isn't particularly healthy. But it's been a coping strategy for a long time.
Not particularly.
No, because I usually have to work through that. And up until I started practicing Qigong and yoga and really focusing on just my health, eating better, etc., I'd get sick all the time and sometimes 8 or 9 weeks at a time where I'd get really, really, really bad cold flu. And would try and work through it. And because I'd be so stressed out from missing stuff, I'd just make myself sicker because I couldn't sleep and let my body rest. So now I try and do all that stuff that I like to do when I'm sick all the time. So trying to have naps, making sure I'm a little bit more better with scheduling things, making dates with myself on a regular basis and trying to plan stuff a bit more so I can play within that structure and making sure I book personal time for myself as well, because then that way I'm healthier with my partner too.
And not bump our personal time.
Oh, totally.
I've been very guilty of that. Schedule it in and then, oh, well, yes, of course, I can take another client. Or yes, of course, I can do another workshop. And where do you have time to reschedule? Do you reschedule?
No, right? We don't. And I've been guilty where I've actually lost a past partner because of the fact I've been married to my work. And, you know, I just assumed that they'd always be there and totally took for granted. And thought by making sure that the times I did spend with them where I'd make it a big splashy thing, that made up for the fact that I wasn't there for all the basics.
Right.
And so with that, that was a tough lesson to learn, but I'm really glad I did learn it. And Now, thanks to that, I try and make sure I have lots of time for my partner now, where it's balanced out a bit better. And that said, he will tell me when I'm out of balance.
I was going to say, often our partners are the ones that will pick up on it the quickest. And if they feel comfortable enough, and if we've given them, of course, the unwritten permission to be able to say that to us, saying, hey, you know what, like I've barely seen you lately, or you seem like you're much too focused on work right now. What about family? What about our relationship? How about we set up a date? Right? Like having them feel comfortable enough to be able to voice their needs as well can refocus us.
That's so true.
And I think that often they will pick up on it a lot sooner. And they won't always say something right away, but if you have a partner that you've encouraged to voice these concerns quickly, they'll hopefully say it before it's driving them crazy.
Yes. So it comes right back down to communication.
I find it usually does, whether we're talking about work or we're talking about our personal lives. It comes down to communication and relationships.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's one of the biggest things. That's my specialty, of course, relationships. But this came out of that need,
yes.
Right? I that wasn't always my specialty. And the idea that really deep down, what's underneath everything?
Mm-hmm.
Our relationships with ourselves, our relationships with other people, our relationships with the ones we love. And in our work life, our relationships with the people we employ or our coworkers or our clients and customers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's the relationships in our lives that bring meaning to our lives, I believe, and really allow us to have a healthy and successful life in whatever area we're talking about, right? Whether we're talking about health and success in work or in love, in any of the areas, really, right? It's about that relationship.
Mm-hmm. It really comes down to that. So what happens if someone's listening to this right now, and a lot of us have gone through this at different stages, where we start off really good, and we're so far apart from our partner now because we've let things basically disintegrate because of taking them for granted or letting them take us for granted. And we're not even sure where to pick those pieces up to start and see if it's even worth saving.
Well, and I think that's where the power of counseling does come in, is being able to go to someone and have an objective opinion.
Okay.
And objective ideas on how can we improve, giving little tips and tricks on simple stuff even, like that idea of making a rule that when you come home, instead of saying hi to your kids first, at least prioritize your partner, right? Your kid might be right at the door, but that idea of go to your partner and give them a hug and a kiss and say, hi, honey, I love you, or how was your day? Little things like that, we wouldn't necessarily think of ourselves because we're right in the middle of our situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to depersonalize and become objective and say, okay, how can I really change this? But one of the things I really like to look at often in being able to do that for ourselves is what are our and what are our goals?
Mm-hmm.
And then be able to look at, try and see our partner's needs and goals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if we feel like they're still in alignment, it might just be a few little tweaks, right? It might be doing very simple things like making each other the priority and creating certain rules.
Mm-hmm.
I find we often need to make it a rule, like it's a black and white rule for a while until we get basically in the habit of it again.
Mm-hmm.
There's an old saying that a habit takes 90 days to create and 90 days to break. And that idea that if we haven't been prioritizing our partner, possibly we've been taking them for granted, not making time for them or for ourselves, we could be speaking for ourselves as well here, that idea that if we don't have a rule, we're not going to do it, right? It's, if we don't have a rule that at least, sorry.
It's a tickle in the throat from talking, I know, on air. Yeah. But if we don't have a rule, we don't do it. So basically making those rules and trying to abide by them.
Yeah, if we create a black and white rule that we have to do it, we're more likely to do it and until it becomes natural again. And so if we are seeing a counselor, they might be the one that implements this, of course, in agreement with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're looking at trying to create some changes on our own, that idea of, okay, what's something small that I can do that's going to be working in the right direction.
Hmm.
So it's often a lot of the small things, right? Like that idea of who am I greeting first at the door? That's a small thing. It's not a deal breaker for anyone, but you start adding all of these small things up,
mm-hmm.
and you've changed your relationship. You've improved your relationship, and that person feels like they're a priority in your life. And the reality is they become a priority again.
Yes.
It's very easy for us to take it for granted, especially in our personal lives
mm-hmm.
and the people that we love the most. We just assume and trust that they'll be there for us no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And we sometimes start focusing our energy elsewhere. But when you think about it and you think about where you want to be in life and what are our needs and goals, who are our priorities? What are our priorities?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to take a week to look at our schedule, look at our calendar, and make sure that we're having a balance there of and including our priorities. So we schedule in a date with our husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
We schedule in some personal time. We schedule in some physical time, right? Getting to the gym or going for a run or meditation, whatever it is that you feel that you crave.
Yes. Whatever it is.
Some Qigong with Caroline.
Yes, I encourage everybody, please take class with me. Yes. And yes, that was a shameless plug for myself. So.
No, I'm always amazed at all of the different things you do and are wonderful at. So that idea of challenging ourselves as well,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that sometimes we challenge ourselves too much, and that's why we don't have a balance.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say too much, but we are wonderful at challenging ourselves, and we struggle with balance compared to that idea that maybe we want a little challenge. Maybe that's something that we want to try some new things.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to schedule it in.
Yes.
Also, I remember you mentioning that idea of Vancouver being a difficult city to date in.
Mm-hmm.
And for many of the clients that I have that are working professionals, spending a lot of time at work, and very successful in their careers, it's often very difficult for them to, first of all, meet people, even
mm-hmm.
just the basics of meeting people that they want to date, and being able to place the time and energy there. And, of course, having trust and sometimes letting go of a little of the control that we
mm-hmm.
often feel in our work lives. When we go into relationships, it's a whole new playing field.
Yes.
And the idea of being able to bridge that and bring our talents from our work life into our personal lives.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that because sometimes, especially someone who's very successful in professional, where they tend to be a leader role, where sometimes it's hard to have that balance in the relationship and try not to control or everything, where it's actually just letting things unfold. Whereas, as my partner always says, he always says it's basically it's the space that's between you and me which creates the us.
Mm.
And I've always really loved that expression. So, but there's a lot of truth to that.
And if someone's dating, I think it's a whole new world of dating when you start bringing in the idea of online dating, like all of the different sites that people go on. And often I find that people that have really busy work lives start dabbling in all of that, right? Just trying to figure out where can they meet someone that is going to be available on a schedule that's similar to theirs, and where can they meet people that aren't a part of their work circle? When you spend so much time at work,
mm-hmm.
how do you not date at work? Which, of course, most people are trying to avoid. And they often end up going out on dates with people that they wouldn't have dated necessarily if they had met them in person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often one of the biggest struggles that I see people dealing with, is they're used to having a lot of control and they're very dedicated to their work life. And then they start dating, say, online, and start dating people that they wouldn't normally be attracted to. They wouldn't have the connection to, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't go on one date and go, okay, you know what, that just didn't work for me. Let's move on to the next date. They'll keep trying. It's like that idea of maybe I can make it work, maybe I can make it happen, maybe if I go on a second date somehow this relationship will meet my needs in some way,
mm-hmm.
and overlooking a lot of the warning signs of why it doesn't work for them.
Yes.
It's, it really does come down to communication often, right? Like that idea, and even for ourselves, being able to be open and honest with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you go on a bad date. Why are you going to go on a second date? Unless there's something really amazing about the situation. When you're in your work life, if you have a bad experience, if someone doesn't fulfill a contract, do you pull back and get a different contract, or do you keep trying to make it happen, right? And so you'll figure out, and often through speaking with other people, what your personality traits are.
Mm-hmm.
But often I find there is a disconnect in how people deal with their work life compared to their personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
And things that they wouldn't put up with at work, they will put up with in their personal lives because they're fed up with not having a personal life.
Yes.
Like just trying to make anything happen or anything work. And it's not easy when you work in certain environments where it's very time-consuming and you don't get out a lot. And that idea that challenging yourself to do new things, challenge yourself to, like, I love the idea that you brought up, the balance wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think about it like looking at a weekly schedule and planning in different parts of, like you were mentioning, being like the spiritual side, the relationship side, mm-hmm. work side, physical side. And if you don't see pieces of all of that within your weekly calendar, you're missing something.
And it's a great opportunity. I'm going to quote the book. I think it's Julie Cameron's The Artist Way, where it encourages having dates for yourself every week, which is really good for personal growth. Of course, her books are more geared towards the creativity piece, but I've always thought that would be really nice. So whether or not it's the spiritual piece where, joining a choir and singing, or maybe it's going to church, or you know, if you're religious, or going to a yoga class, whatever it is that you need to do to really tap into that piece of your soul,
mm-hmm.
And just taking the time, and that doesn't have to stop just because you're in a relationship. Making sure you have that personal time for you. But even sometimes it's really fun. My partner and I had a blast a couple of years ago when money was a little bit tighter during the recession. And what we did was we did a brainstorm session and made a list of all sorts of really cool date ideas that didn't cost anything or very minimal, under $10. And cut them all up, put them in little balls, put them in a jar. And when it was a day that we weren't sure what we wanted to do, would pull one out, so it'd give us a fresh idea of what we do, and that's what we're going to do that day.
That is great.
It's really fun.
I want your list.
Well, I got everything. As an easy example would be going to the art gallery, because on Tuesday nights it's by donation. And before going to the art gallery, making a yummy picnic. And if it's raining, you have it on your living room floor. You may not end up leaving if your apartment, because you might
Which
have
might
too
be
much
really
fun,
great.
Which kind of gets the right to the intimacy piece right away. But if you can hold off and just keep building that anticipation, it can be really fun. And then have a really great time and go and enjoy and have a good time there. Other things can be where it's for soul, like maybe volunteering, maybe becoming volunteers at, say, the SPCA, where you're considering maybe adopting a dog or a cat. Well, that would be a really great way to be able to, A, see if it was something that you both really enjoyed by volunteering and giving some love and support to a really great organization and that perhaps you believe in. Be getting to see if it's something that would actually complement your lifestyle and being able to see how both of you are with them and with different animals as you're walking them and sending them love. So there's things like that too. So depending on what the goals are, Other things can be really simple, like going to, say, Jericho Beach. I'm a huge picnic freak at this time of year, but it doesn't just have to be at this time of year. It can be at any time. And especially if you get really, really organized and start planning meals and stuff, it's really easy to do picnic at any time. Yeah, I encourage everybody to get a deep freeze. It makes life so much easier.
Does. You can pre-make a bunch of things and then just pull it out.
You can. And they've done studies for Qigong where 100 years ago, we didn't make as many decisions as we do now. And whenever we make decisions, so whether or not it's to respond to a message on Facebook, whether or not it's, you know, what to eat, which is hard sometimes in Vancouver because we've got, I believe, I'm not sure if it's still true, but back in the 90s, when I used to write for the Visitor's Guide, we had more restaurants per capita than anywhere else in North America. And now with the food carts, there's so much delectable food in Vancouver, but it can get really stressful. And whenever we have to make a decision, it taxes our liver energy, which can cause frustration and anger. To bubble up at the surface and kicks up our cortisol levels in the body as well. And so by even doing simple things, by planning your meals, which sounds really boring, but it actually is really better for your mental health. And hence anything that's good for your mental health is good for your relationship. Simply
put. It's interesting that you say that because I often have couples or one side of a couple that comes in and speaks to me about how it really frustrates them when the other person won't make decisions. And especially this comes up when when one or both sides of the relationship are in powerful positions, right? Like they make a lot of decisions, they're in upper management, they own a business, and they're having to constantly make decisions. And I think we all are having to do that on a regular basis. And what they want in their personal life often is to be taken care of.
Yes.
Or at the very least, for it to be easy and smooth and not make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so please choose my restaurant for me.
Yes.
But then, of course, there comes an issue when they make a choice and it's not the restaurant you want, of course. But that idea of, okay, well, maybe I want, like, you give them hints and say, I'm feeling like Greek or Chinese.
Hmm.
What do you feel like, honey? And, hey, do you have a good idea in mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting how I didn't realize that about the liver, but often I do hear people complaining about having to make decisions or the other person not stepping up and making the decisions in the relationship and showing that initiative.
And I think that's huge, especially if somebody's the decision maker in general, where they do want to be taken care of, because especially if they're making a lot of decisions for a company that they love working for, and they spend a lot of time there. Because I think in terms of love languages, I don't know where this fits in. I think it probably falls under acts of service a little bit, where making decisions means that you care about something. Whereas when somebody's apathetic and says, oh no, go ahead, you can choose whatever, sometimes it feels like they don't care. And so it ends up causing frustration and anger.
And often there's a disconnect there,
that's
because
not
the person
true.
Saying that usually, often, isn't intending that. They don't intend that messaging to come across, I don't care. It's more anything you want, honey,
mm-hmm.
I'd be perfectly okay with.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's an act of love often, and the other person hears it as, I don't care because I don't have the time and energy to put into that decision.
Yes.
And just changing the wording slightly can make all the difference.
It can make such a huge impact.
Rather than, I don't care, it's saying, I'm feeling pretty easygoing right now. Anything you feel like, honey, would be perfectly good with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It makes a very, you hear a very different message compared to, I don't care.
That's so true. But that said, actually making a decision early on. So I know of a couple of coaches who actually, believe it or not, plan 3 months in advance and plan all the meals. So then that way you can actually entice your partner and let them know what they're having for dinner at the beginning of the day. So when they come home, so whether or not it's in the slow cooker because they're going to be home first, or depending who's doing the cooking, It's nice where it's kind of like the tease where you tell your partner, I just bought the cutest pair of panties, and you take a picture of them and send them to them. So it gives
and
them.
And that's the same as, I have this wonderful chicken casserole in the slow cooker.
Pretty much, except for you make eating a ritual. So it's not just honoring your body. it's honoring each other where you actually get to put things aside. So whether or not it's with the whole family, where it's that time together and really making it, even if it's just a couple times a week where you do that. But it makes a huge difference. It's good for your liver health, but it's also good for the relationship and helps build that intimacy where you get that conversation by making a meal a special occasion.
Yeah, well, definitely. If we, the days that we just throw things together and we don't have the time to really put energy into it, it might be a great meal, but are we enjoying it as much?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very true.
And often, like, are you eating it standing up while dealing with kids and responding to Facebook messages?
Totally.
Have you sat down and are you chatting about your day?
It's so true. And all those little, and like you said, it's the little things that make up a relationship. It's those things that we do. So whether or not it's coming and greeting somebody at the door when they come home and honoring them and recognizing them first, where they are the priority, even above kids, even though the kids are a pretty close second. But whatever those choices are, we choose to create the tapestry of our relationships. All of that feeds in. Carrie, if any of our listeners would, because I know you're going to be having some workshops coming up, and with that, you do individual counseling as well as for couples and for anybody who's interested business-wise as well, looking for work-life balance. What's the best way to get a hold of you so that A, they can find out about upcoming workshops, and B, if they are interested in connecting with you in regards to individual or couples counseling?
Well, the easiest way to go about it would be to go to my website, which is vegacounseling.com. That is vegacounselling.com. Mm. And on there, it will list workshops. It will list all the different business services I have as well, which is vegatraining.com. But they're all linked together. So you can access it all from there. And, of course, for little tips and tricks, I will post things on my Facebook pages as well, which is Vega Counseling and Vega Training, depending on which services you're looking for.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This was fun.
Yay. Well, we'll have to have you on again.
Sounds great.
And up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. I was going to say whizzable with. I think I've got a little bit of Elmer Fudd coming into my voice. Oh, that's definitely not sexy. But Marion, who does Hans von Claus, is very sexy and has some pretty awesome music as well. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the Sexy Hour of 10 o'clock. Have a beautiful night, everyone. Goodbye.